Hey, Tim.
Hello, Dan.
I have a joke for you.
Far away.
Back out, back!
Far from.
Still funny. Still funny.
Still
I think
in
we
red.
Did this last budget.
Still in red. And will be.
Yes.
For like 5 more years.
Hi, this is Tim. This is just a heads up that all the advice you're hearing in this podcast is general in nature. If you want something more specific, then feel free to contact us.
Drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant, drunk accountant.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Dan.
My name is Tim.
And we are...
The Two Drunk Accountants! That was not planned.
No, it wasn't. Nor should it have been.
I liked it. We could do that every week.
I think so. Cool. I like it a lot. Tim.
What is the Tim and Dan Lo? That one was planned.
Tim, you've just come back from Tasmania. How was it?
It was good. Had a great time. A little bit fresh on some days, but actually, the weather was amazing. Mm. And even went for a swim.
Mm-hmm.
Hiked about 48 kilometers of that, like 30, probably about 30 Ks with 15 kilos on my back.
Nice.
Which was different.
Nice.
Never done that before.
Yeah. I'd love to go do some hiking.
Oh, it's so good down there.
Mm.
It's so good. So, yeah. So much good food as well. And like distilleries and beer breweries. It's all happening. It is all happening in Tassie. Oh, it's beautiful. Pristine.
Cheap housing too. I should move to Tassie.
Used to be. I don't know if that's still...
Still is.
It is?
Like, comparatively.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
Okay. I heard on the radio, Triple M, the local Triple M, they're talking about a property developer who bought, off the plan, an $8 million apartment.
Off the plan?
In Hobart.
This feeds really well into our... you hear in our prediction about a 5-minute rant about housing. Yes. So, that's good.
So, it's happening everywhere, including Tassie. But, there would be some remote locations.
Yes.
Which would be pretty cheap still.
So, apart from that, though, yeah, good times, sounds like.
It was very good times. Did I miss anything, Dan?
There was a brief period where we all had to wear masks at the shops again.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
Yes.
It was so funny, actually. Because we were down there. We ran into some friends. We were down there.
Yep.
Kurt and Mel.
Shout out to Kurt.
Yeah.
And Mel.
K Dizzle.
Mm.
And every time we'd get a message from Taz Health, we'd all get it the exact same time. It was like kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Because they kept adding new locations.
Yep.
So, you'd get a message. We'd all check our phone at the exact same time and it was Taz Health. So, the government's just like... Got us on speed dial.
Yeah. Well, that is good, I guess. I mean, if you'd been to one of those locations and then they're like, hey, you're a visitor.
Yeah.
Who's been there.
I know.
That's fair enough.
Luckily, I didn't tell them that I had that. Luckily, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. No. So, there was a brief period of that here. Apart from that, nothing too outrageous in the past 2 weeks.
Nothing outrageous?
No, nothing too outrageous.
Kind of, you know, when you're away, you kind of want something outrageous to happen. You're like, something changed.
Well, yeah, it's gone. And then you come back and you're like the world is so different now.
Yeah. No.
Since I've been gone a week in Tasmania.
Well, you know, you just like want some progress.
Yeah.
Maybe you want the government to invest in some renewables.
Maybe. I mean, you'd be disappointed if that was the case.
Maybe. I don't know, Dan. Maybe you want a better co-host of your podcast? No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't ask for a better co-host.
I almost replaced you last week.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so almost. Apologies for not being on an episode last week. I simply ran out of time. We were meant to be ahead of our recording last week, but unfortunately, a few things fell through before the end. But we've got 2 episodes this week. You've probably already heard one, maybe.
Mm.
So, see how that goes. Tim? Do you have a business update? I think the entire episode's a business update. Let's skip the section that is sponsored by Cats Accountants.
One other Tim and Dan Lowe thing I will note. Mother's Day, Dan.
It was Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day, mothers.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. I have several mothers.
All right.
Biological mother, stepmother, mother-in-law.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. I guess I have several mothers too.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
How good's mums?
Yeah, exactly. So, let's skip then, Tim, to the tight ass tip. Now, I have a Dan's tight ass double savers today.
It's funny, Dan. I was tidying up the notes in my phone.
Yeah.
And I have, without knowing it, I've got like 10 different tight ass tip notes, I realized. So, there's more tight ass tips. There are many tight ass tips to come.
You probably came up with some while you're on the trip too.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
what have you got?
Mine today, Tim, is I don't think we've used this one before, but it was brought up upstairs earlier today.
Okay.
You came up from a meeting. Mm-hmm. You had everything that you take to a meeting. You got your laptop.
Yep.
You've got your phone, a water bottle. Generally, you might have a teacup.
Yeah.
And with that, you brought back up a tea bag.
I brought a tea bag back up, which looked quite strange.
And Sarah here in the office said, Tim, why did you bring up your tea bag? We both kind of were like, what do you mean? Like,
why wouldn't I bring up my tea bag?
And so this tight ass tip, Tim, I've got a good name for it.
Okay, yeah.
Double dunk.
Love it.
Tea bags have more than one use.
They do.
They have more than one use. And if you're just dunking once and then throwing them out, you're wasting a perfectly good second cup of tea, possibly a third.
Well, you know,
depending on how strong your tea is.
Often people will have one, two, or three cups of tea.
Yeah.
And this actually even came up during the hike because Tess was one of the people we did the hike with. Mm. She only brought two tea bags for each day. You had to carry all your food with you.
Yeah.
But then by the last day, she realized, hey, I can make two cups of tea with the same tea bag.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, of course you can.
She could have had a tea bag per day.
I just
saved yourself half the tea.
I assumed everyone knew this.
Nah, I assumed so. Most nights of the week, my routine is after dinner, I have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And if Kat and I happen to be having the same type of tea, which is not always the case, but if we do, I always just use one bag.
That's like you could pour a half glass of wine and just top it up with a little bit of water or like grape juice. And, you know, that's pretty good too. That's a lie. I've never done that in my life. But definitely with the tea bags.
With the tea bags.
You can double dunk.
You can double dunk. So, use your tea bags more than once. Set it aside on the kitchen bench. Come back to it for your second cup of tea.
That's it. 100%.
Double dunk.
The key to the double dunk is not leaving it in too long the first time.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to do anyway, because if you're drinking green tea in particular, it gets a bit bitter.
Quite bitter. I agree.
It should only be left in for about, I reckon, 30 seconds to a minute. That's way too long for you, Dan.
It depends how, like, how many up and down motions, like, how many dunks in your first dunk you go for.
I like to leave mine for about 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
Take it out, shelf it, put it back in my tea.
If you're listening right now, and you're a big tea drinker, we've literally saved you dollars this year.
50% of your tea consumption.
Yeah.
Is now free.
Yeah. Normally, our tight ass tips save you cents. This is dollars.
Well,
this is
I don't
big
know.
Game.
We've saved a lot of money for a lot of people, Dan.
You're right.
So.
All right. Well, you're welcome, planet Earth.
Yeah. Double dunk.
Let's move on to our main topic today, Tim. This is the budget update. Tim, what do you think of the budget?
Well, shouldn't we start with our predictions? Or?
You're right. Let's start with our predictions.
Okay, so we recorded... We're traveling back in time here.
Budget prediction. Budget. Budget.
We got budget.
Budget.
We got budget.
All right, today is the budget. We're back to regular May budgets.
Not back in black.
No, but I'm looking forward. I'm sure I'll start this episode with back in black, just to throw it back. So, Tim, let's have a quick discussion about budget predictions. You and I both haven't looked this up, but I have heard some leaks.
Yeah, look, Dan, I'll show you what's on my screen right now.
Yeah.
To prove to you, I have not looked
AFL,
up
budget. AFL, yeah. okay, so a couple of things to go through. One thing I did see pop up from a very reliable news source, the Batuta Advocate.
Oh, yes.
And this made me laugh quite a bit.
Okay.
Because one of the leaks that I did hear was that they're to help first home buyers, they're extending some of the things they're giving them. So,
fantastic.
One of them is they're increasing the amount that you can take out of your super
Okay.
From 30 to some amount. I think it might have been 50 or something. But you still have to put that money into super. You have to salary sacrifice it to get that money. But this Batuta Advocate article says, government asks youth to use their retirement savings to prop up hyperinflated property market. I enjoy this. This is good. We need to make sure the lives of property-owning baby boomers are as comfortable as possible right up to the moment when their right ventricle or heart valve finally blows out.
That's hard-hitting.
Pretty funny.
Hard-hitting stuff there. Pretty funny. From the Tudor guys.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So they are apparently, we'll see the details later tonight, but going to be doing something with first-home buyers.
Well, I think that's probably one of the big topics that you could predict. It's not going to be really spoken about, but they need to do something.
They need to do something with property prices. Yeah.
And wages as a proportion of that.
Yeah. And so, they have reduced taxes in the past couple of years. That's my other prediction, that they will be further lowering maybe of taxes. Yeah.
Because it was like something like 2024.
They might bring that forward again.
They might bring that forward. So, in 2024, they were meant to, the tax bracket from $45,000 should go all the way through to $200,000. Maybe they look at bringing that forward and making it this year. So, 2021, they already upped the tax bracket from $45,000 to $125,000.
Yes.
That is all the same tax rate.
Yep.
So, maybe they'll push that $125,000 up a bit further.
Yeah. I'm predicting that something like that will happen. And there's also already scheduled, and I'm sure they'll announce some of the things that are already planned as, by the way, we're doing this. Don't forget.
Reminders.
It'll be reminders such as the corporate tax rate is already reducing.
Yeah.
There's a few other things around that. So, I imagine they will talk about that a bit.
Yeah, you're right. You know what, Dan? I don't see many other tax savings coming, to be honest.
No. I think there'll be a few things that'll be extended.
Yeah, like there's always the asset write-off.
So, I think the asset write-off will be extended yet again.
Yes.
Which it already is to the 2022 anyway.
Yeah.
I predict that the low to middle income tax offset will probably be continued.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So, there are some of the predictions. What else? You're talking spending. So, one thing I did see actually is the childcare. They're increasing that.
There's been a leak around that. So, I think, and that's, that's exciting for people who've perhaps having COVID babies.
Yes.
You might have some childcare support your way.
It's likely, Tim, that you or I or you and I, not I together, know. But separately, will
you want to have kids. A baby?
Yeah, well, I mean, might as well.
Hey. We could make a super accountant.
So, I do think that there will be some things for us there, Tim.
Yeah. Perhaps. I mean, that is exciting though for people in our age group. Mm. And that's definitely going to help. That's going to solve that issue of the housing drama. Because that's a big fear. I think that's a big fear in the Australian economy. We've got certain sectors booming and others not keeping up. So, I anticipate there'll be something hopefully around events, hopefully around tourism. Which is going to make people go and spend money. Mm. But then, they've talked a lot about getting the unemployment rate down. So,
it's going to be a lot of
fluffy stuff.
Yeah, we already have the job maker and all those things. We've got the, if you hire someone that's under whatever the age is, 30, you get a couple hundred bucks, depending on a lot of criteria.
Mm.
So, I'm not sure what else they're going to add to that. I don't know.
I think there's going to be some training things. So, for example, I wouldn't be surprised if there's lots of grants for like universities because they're also a struggling sector. Now, there's no foreign students.
They're absolutely sure. A lot of their money comes from the foreign students.
So, they're going to want to get people into study and training.
Yep.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, in my mind, like I think a big part of the problem they should be trying to solve is finding a way to increase people's wages. What's one way of doing that? That's increasing the demand for labor.
Yep.
Which means if there's a lot of businesses requiring staff, then there's going to be more jostling in terms of like wage.
Yeah, that's true.
So, that's something that I'm looking for from this budget.
I can't imagine, just based on historical view here, I don't think there's going to be anything too groundbreaking. I don't think so. They're not reinventing the tax wheel here. There's just going to be some short-term incentives.
Yeah.
Like the JobMaker.
Yeah.
Like these other programs that are already happening. There'll be some changes to the tax rates, which is already going to happen.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine they're going to turn up and suddenly, you know, there's a huge change to franking credits or there's a huge change to capital gains tax or anything big and structural like that.
And you know what? We can say that with a great deal of certainty.
Because they won the election on that last time.
Well, that, but also like nothing's been leaked. If there's something that groundbreaking, they leak it weeks before so that they can spruik it.
That is very true.
Or soften the blow once... Once they do announce it on the night, they don't want people to be shocked. So,
I'm quite pleased with a few of the things we've heard.
Yeah.
For instance, I think the childcare extending the rebates there is a great idea.
That's awesome.
Because you're going to bring more people back to the workforce.
That's right. So if you can increase productivity, then
and not only that, that is another effective wage increase because if you're paying out of the pocket. All this money for childcare just to earn a little bit extra.
Yep.
It's not much on top.
So. Now, look at the confidence that's going to come from this budget, Dan.
Mm.
Do you think property prices will increase again because of that?
I tell you, something has to happen.
It's a dangerous spiral we're going on.
Something is that there's a house recently that I went for, Tim, while you were away.
Yes.
And the guide was $8 to $8.50.
Okay. Nice. That's a nice small range.
Yeah. And it was a nice small house.
Okay.
You know, 60, 70 years old.
Oh, wow.
Needed a brand new bathroom and a kitchen.
That historical charm.
It's got charm. Like, another word for historical charm, Tim, is asbestos. So, it had all the historical charm that you needed.
You don't like pumping water or using lead pipes?
No, exactly. Yeah. a lot of these things probably needed replacing. Anyway, It was quite a big block and it was in a nice suburb, in a nice spot. Mm. Wasn't near the beach or anything, but it was in a nice spot.
Yeah.
Anyway, turned up, it was an auction because every house at the moment goes for auction because they know people are irrational. And it sold for $1.1 million.
Wow. Just a little bit above that range.
Just slightly above their predicted range, Tim. And now, I'm not going to say that the real estate agent was scamming people. No. You know what?
He was.
Okay. I am going to say it. They're scamming people right now. It's a joke.
Yeah, look, that is a fear of mine because the government wants to give people confidence through this budget. They want people to spend money.
Mm.
But everyone's spending money on houses right now.
But here's the thing. This can't be good for anyone. And here's why. The only people that this increase is good for right now is people who already owned a home.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So, here's my reasonings.
Okay.
First home buyers. They're buying things well out of their budget. Interest rates will go up.
Mm.
Prices will go down or plateau.
Mm.
And then, suddenly, they can't afford the repayments.
Mm.
That is a definite scenario that's going to happen.
Yep.
Second scenario. People buy these houses as an investment and they don't go up that much more. You know, rent isn't, you know, you're not as a percentage of return rent to property value. It's
poor return. It's probably still better than money in the bank at the moment though.
Better than your 0.2% interest.
Not enough to live off if you've got a loan.
Exactly. Existing homeowners who want to move up, it doesn't work for because you're selling your expensive house to buy an even more expensive house.
Unless you're willing to move regional,
So the people it really works for is if you already owned a home and you want to move to a cheaper place.
Yeah.
Like regional.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you owned a house in Manly and you sold that for $5 million last weekend at an auction and you decide you want a house and let's just a hypothetical example, Terrigal. And there's an auction for $800 to $850. You don't mind spending $1.1 on that because you still got $4 million in the bank.
Well, it's in Terrigal. You wouldn't even have to go see it. Sight unseen, you could probably buy that.
Happened at another place in Killarney Vale.
Ah.
And then it fell through because there were problems with it.
Oh.
But people are doing that. They're just buying it sight unseen and then do the building inspection. They don't mind giving up $2,000 or $3,000 or whatever the 0.25% deposit is just to secure it.
See, that's just I think this budget's going to be a great budget for Australia and is very exciting, but I am fearful of what's happening in that space.
Yeah, so am I.
So
mainly because I'm trying to buy a house. Yeah, for me. That's why I'm whinging.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, there are certain things like bubbles.
Yes, bubbles.
Bubbles, but, you know, bubbles. Like, you know, Australian banks, very prudent, right?
Hmm.
Although I did hear the other day that NAB was offering a $1, what's it called? A lender's mortgage insurance. $1.
$1.
Yeah. All you needed was, I think, 5% deposit or 10% deposit, and you could get lender's mortgage insurance for $1.
Yeah, for context, people, it's 20 to 30 grand for lender's mortgage yeah. insurance, which I also think is a scam.
That is an absolute scam. It's a massive scam. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. But would the government think maybe that's a good thing as well because everyone could refinance and spend more money?
Yeah, I think maybe. They would. And the RBA have already come out and thinking, said interest yeah. rates aren't going to go significantly up for at least 3 years.
Mm. That's not a lot of time.
No, but think about that. If you've bought a house that's right above, like it's above what you can afford, but yeah. right now you can afford the repayments because interest rates are so low.
Mm.
5 years time, if that interest rate goes to, let's say, just the medium amount, 5%.
Mm. 5% is not much.
If your interest rate, sorry, if your repayment right now is $700 a week,
mm.
it's going to be well above $1,000 a week.
Well, let's just think, like, in our lifetime, Dan,
can you afford $500 more on your mortgage each week? I doubt it.
No.
People out there.
Not at the same wage. Not at the same wage.
Wages aren't growing.
And this is why we're harping on about the wage thing.
Yeah.
Because we think it needs to happen in Australia relative to house prices. So yeah, we shall see.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. That's our budget prediction. Let's find out if we were right. And we're back. Tim, how do you think we went with our budget predictions?
We said one thing that was wrong. We thought they were going to bring forward tax cuts.
We did, which they didn't.
They didn't, but they kept one thing we got right, Dan. Low medium
yep.
income tax offset.
Yes, they extended the instant asset immediate expense.
Full expensing.
We expected that. They've mm-hmm. also extended the bring back loss rule.
Yeah, that's carry good. Carry back rule. That's really good, actually.
Which I didn't predict that.
No.
There are a few other things which they did do, which we'll get into as well, that we did predict around childcare and things that had already been leaked. So that wasn't a prediction from us. Yeah. That was just, we'd heard that.
Yeah.
But let's dive into a few of the things that we heard, Tim, that are interesting to us.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what you think was the interesting parts.
Yeah, I think tax-wise, there wasn't anything too crazy. We noticed that there was a change to a test for residency.
Yeah, so this is everyone, you know, you're not going to read about this on the ABC's winners and losers.
Yeah, true.
This is into the weeds here. So let's there's a few of the things we got excited about.
Yeah, we definitely got excited about that. So to be in the past, seeing if you were a foreign resident for tax purposes was actually quite difficult.
Mm.
It's quite a gray area. And they're trying to simplify that, which I support. So, now they're just going to have a 183-day test.
Yeah.
So, if you were in the country for 183 days, you would be considered a resident for tax purposes in Australia.
And that's such an easier, because the other one before was, you know,
what
are your intentions? Do you have a permanent residence?
How have you displayed those intentions?
What have you done with your stuff? And it was grey and subjective. And this is a much clearer, as they call it, bright line test.
Bright line. Why would they call it bright line?
There's a bright line. It's shining. I imagine it's like a glowing line in the sand of time.
I don't know. Why do they give things stupid names like that?
I don't know. That's definitely a ScoMo thing.
Just call it the 183 day test.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like every other test in the tax in Australia. It's just called what it is usually.
Yeah. God, that's stupid.
All right. So, a few other things here. As we said, the low middle income tax offset has been extended another year. So, that's an extra $1,000 likely into your bank account if you're listening to this. So, thank you,
woo-hoo,
government. Temporary full expenses extended for a year, which we've already mentioned. The loss carry back was extended another year, which we mentioned.
Up to 2023. So, it was actually still going to be around in 2022, but now we'll be possible in 2023.
Correct. To do that. Individual residency test, which Tim has just mentioned. Then there's a couple of other weird small bits, like the self-education expenses. This used to be a $250 threshold to be eligible. So you had to have spent more than $250 to claim the deduction.
And it minus $250 minus, off your deduction as well.
Exactly. They're getting rid of that.
Good.
Yeah.
So they should.
So they should. A few things going on in the superannuation space. Now, the most interesting one, if you're looking in all the winners and losers pages, something that they claim is a big winner for women. And there is a lot of things in this budget for women because people have often said that that's their weak spot, is that they haven't done much to help in that space.
Yeah.
Is that if you earn currently in superannuation, if you earn less than $450 in a month, your employer doesn't have to pay any super for you.
Yep.
So if you're a low, very, very low income earner, basically there's a cutoff where they just say your employer doesn't need to worry about the compliance for your super on those people.
Yeah.
But what I guess they found is a majority of those people are women.
Yeah. I mean, you could see potentially a single mother or a new mother working a day a week.
Yeah.
Perhaps they're not going to reach that $450 in a month. Or some months, they might not work for a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So what they've said is they're going to scrap that, and super is now just owed from the first dollar for everybody, which is good. I think I did a quick calculation myself to be like, well, how much does that actually save? And let's say you did that for 10 years and you got an extra $5,000 in your super, and this was in your 20s and your 30s. And that stayed in your super fund for an extra 30 years at an average of 5% return. Well, that $5,000 becomes like $25,000.
Oh.
So, it is a big difference.
It is.
In the long scheme of things.
In the long run. Yeah. And I kind of like it because it's also simplifying.
Yeah.
So, I often would get calls when Xero would calculate someone's wages and there would be no super.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, there's no super. Often, actually, though, I'd get the call the next week
when
the super was double what it was meant to be. And they're like, hold on a second, that's not 9.5%.
No one seems to notice when it's nothing, but they seem to notice when it's more.
100%.
So, the other thing which I kind of found interesting about this is that the types of industries where people would be working not enough to earn $450 also, unfortunately, the types of industries that right now might be struggling. Hospitality.
Yeah.
Tourism. Retail. Well,
definitely tourism and retail. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not that often that in a professional environment, there is someone earning less than that. You know, even, you know, an admin or something working a day, it probably earns more than that.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. It really is hospitality.
So, I think they're probably going to... unfortunately take on a little bit of that cost, but you know, per employee it might only be $50, but if you've got 20 of those employees you're quite a big retailer, then that ends up being a little bit more money.
That's why I kind of think this is a win for young people as well. So it's been heralded as a win for women, but I kind of think it's more of a win for young people,
to be honest,
because there's probably a lot of super that we missed out on
back
in the day, which would have been, I don't know, let's call it $1,000 we missed out on.
Yeah.
That, like you said, could be worth $5 now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's a good one for young people.
So, that was an interesting one. I'm not sure the date. I am actually. 1st of July 2022.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we've still got a year.
Don't stress though. If you use Xero,
it'll update automatically.
It'll update. If you use MYOB, you'll have to install a new update.
MYOB. So, another interesting one, which flows on from my rant recently in the past, was the increase in the first home super saver scheme of up to $50,000 now instead of $30,000.
Yeah.
I mean, you've all heard my feelings about this.
I mean, it probably will help a little bit, but it's not enough. Wages just need to go up. The super scheme is not going to help.
Yeah, exactly. There's another part of this for the first home, not even first home, single parents. Because, you know, right now, there's apart from this first home super saver scheme, there's also the scheme where they will guarantee 15% of the loan if you've got a 5% deposit.
Right.
There's restrictions on what your income needs to be, the value of the house,
Yeah.
And there's a limit of like 10,000 spots. I think they've doubled that in the budget. But they've also introduced a new one for single parents.
Single parents.
That you can buy a house with a 2% deposit. 2% deposit. And they will guarantee the other 18% for the full 20.
Jeez.
So, I'm imagining there is also restrictions on house value and all of that. Which, that my issue with the first home one is that the value of the house was nowhere near the market value that you could buy.
Yeah, unless you're buying like a
unless you're buying in Broken Hill.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I agree. It's unrealistic, really. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure it will help some people, but it's quite niche.
Yeah, I think an article I read also said that the uptake for these things was far less than what they predicted.
Really?
Yeah, especially for the first home super saver scheme, not so much for the 5% deposit.
God, the first home super saver scheme was a great idea.
Yeah.
It was a good concept, just far too technical. Too many ways where you could make mistakes, and it didn't. It saved tax, but it didn't save you that much, really.
No, depending on your income levels.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were earning anywhere above 30% paying a tax, then you ended up paying more out of it anyway.
Yeah,
I did it. It saved me a little bit.
A couple grand. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's a lot of effort.
It is a lot of effort.
For a couple grand.
Yeah. And I'm an accountant.
Yeah. It really wasn't simple. So, I mean, I like it, but simplify it.
Yes. Now, here is something, Tim, that I know there's two things here. One is deep, deep embedded in our own hearts here at the Two Drunk Accountants.
Alcohol.
And the brewers and distillers.
Yes.
Start cheering, y'all. The excess refund cap for small brewers and distillers will increase to 350,000.
Nice. Twite.
Yes, it's a lot more.
And it's good.
Yeah.
I support it. I think they're like good little businesses.
Yeah.
Love alcohol. Yeah. So, can't complain about that. And generally, a bit of employment comes from them.
Yeah.
Too, so.
Because they're usually also little kitchens and restaurants you know, they're little hospitality venues. Yep. They're not just a brewer.
And sometimes a good export too. Yeah. So, like, I think that's strengthening something that Australia can send around the world as well.
Now, the other thing close to me and to you, Tim, if we're playing Halo, and that's the 30% digital games tax offset. And
that's pretty cool.
I did not predict this, obviously.
Do you want to make a game?
Yeah, but if you have a minimum spend of $500,000, and you're making it in this country, then you'll get a 30% tax offset.
That's cool. Let's make a game. Two Drunk Counters game.
Two Drunk. Pew, pew.
If you would like to invest in such a venture, we kind of do need $500,000 to do that first. But
yeah, but we'll do the rest.
Yeah, and we're bound to make money. It's bound to make money.
It will make money. The popularity of this podcast, just everyone out there would spend a lot on the Two Drunk Accountants video game.
100%.
Yeah, we'll make it for iOS. It's accessible to everyone.
iOS, but Android?
Nah, no one likes Android. If you have an Android, then you. I got to stop using that button. It's just so funny.
You know what I think of you, Dan? That made no sense.
No, it's funny though. Okay, other budget. Let's get back to serious content, Tim. Have you got anything else that you're interested on here?
I don't know. The childcare stuff is good. So, let's talk about that a little bit because that also helps women.
Yeah, exactly. So, another big issue is the cost of childcare can be a big hurdle for families to overcome to get both parents back into the workforce. Because if you're earning a lower income, then almost the entire amount you earn for that day could go to childcare.
Yeah. So, it's just not good for the economy because, well, just stay home. It's just...
Yeah.
But may as well look after the child yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite a negative way of looking at things.
Exactly.
It's bad for the economy because they're going to earn less and spend less.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also not going to pay tax.
Exactly.
So, you can't get back in black.
Exactly. And the way that our society is structured, more often than not, historically, and it's getting less so, but historically, women are the ones that stay home and look after the children.
Well,
so, it disproportionately affects them.
Biologically, they kind of have to for the first few months if they're breastfeeding and things like that. You know, it's just logistically quite difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I support the childcare subsidy increase. The only interesting thing, Dan, was that it was for people with two children.
Yeah, I don't like that part of it. I don't know why they don't do a bigger subsidy for the first one and a smaller subsidy for the second.
Yeah, I would have just thought anyone with a child could use that.
Yeah.
Because why is having the second child the trigger?
Well, the only thing I can think of is maybe they're thinking, well, you can afford the first child, but the second child would be too much. Your one day of work with two kids is suddenly way too much.
Yeah, well, that's true. So, basically, your first child, because then you're doubling down on the childcare.
Yeah.
It's true. Actually, I've got friends who have recently talked about, they've had a second child who's turning one soon, Lucas. Shout out. Very cool little baby.
Mm.
And, they were talking about how expensive childcare is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's like $500 a week or something.
Yeah. And so, there's a 65% rebate, I think, for the first child and a 95% rebate for the second third.
Yeah. So, they used some examples and the rebates differ depending on your income level.
Yeah.
So, their examples had a certain amount of income.
Okay.
And, so, for the first child in that scenario, they had a 65% rebate, which was a pretty solid household income.
Yeah.
But the second one would increase, the subsidy would increase by 30%.
Yeah.
And then, I think it increases by another 30% for the third. So, something like that.
Yeah. Well, another 30% would be above 100.
Yeah. So, it would just cap at 100. But, they also got rid of the cap. So, there was a cap of around $10,000 on childcare subsidies.
Yeah. So, if you had kids in every day, that would rack up fairly quickly. Oh, and then you'd get to April and suddenly there's 3 months of full cost. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
So, they've got rid of that cap.
Yeah. I like that.
I think...
I really support all of these measures.
Childcare needs... I still think they could do more there.
And there must be so much money in childcare.
Oh, my God. Great businesses.
Except for, what was that big one that failed?
Oh, yeah, ABC.
ABC.
I don't know how they failed.
But I'm pretty sure they were just adding kids to their...
Yeah, I don't know. They were doing dodgy shit.
Yeah. Anyway, there must be some big money in this.
There is. There is. Actually, I was speaking to Jade's sister and she's got little Eddie on a waiting list for a local childcare. There's 100 kids. On the waiting list, Dan.
100 kids.
And they make you pay $100 to go on the waiting list.
So, so there's somebody in our office who's trying to increase their days and is also on a waiting list.
Waiting lists.
Mm.
This is a problem.
So, more supply.
The government could fix this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if this increased subsidy is going to do that.
No. But on a different note, we are opening up Cat's childcare. It's something to be on the lookout for. We'll offer fairly good rates.
Yeah, for sure. Good rates. I mean, we were going to make this room a recording studio, but it just turned into the creche.
We could fit, 10 kids in here?
I reckon you could fit 50, to be honest. Ceiling's quite high.
It's the difference between free range and caged. No, I think that's the problem.
No, but if they're all in a tight area, it means they're not really getting anywhere. So, you don't have to watch them as much.
Yeah, no, you're right. They can't move as far.
And then, you just if you want to wash them, just get a hose.
No, you just set the fire alarm off.
Feed them. Just
sprinklers.
Spread seed across the room.
Terrible.
Yeah, that is bad. But this is why there should be more proper childcare centers.
Exactly. It always reminds me of that movie Daddy Daycare. And they go to visit the different daycares for their kid. And there's the super expensive one, which is really fancy. And then all the rest are just crack addicts with a basement kind of.
That's bad, eh?
Anyway. So, a few other things in the budget. There's obviously doubling its commitment to the job trainer to help new apprentices and traineeships. So, that's getting more people. I heard in another podcast that they've got a target to get unemployment below 5%. And the reason being is I heard that that is meant to be the solution for wage growth.
Okay.
So, the lower...
So, it gets below that level.
Yeah. The lower the unemployment, the... the more demand there is for people.
Wages are forced upwards.
Correct.
Yeah. Supply and demand.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
With our predictions. And yeah, it's interesting in the summary notes that I'm looking at here, which are from CPA, the government did announce that they expect there'll be 1.25% real GDP growth in 2021. That's the year we're in right now.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty impressive, really, given COVID's ruined half of that.
Yeah.
Then, so, that's the subsidy working. They think 2022 will see 4.25% real GDP growth, which is...
Yeah. That's
pretty big.
That's quite a lot.
That's massive. We haven't had growth like that.
Three's the target.
We haven't had growth like that for like the last 5 years.
Yeah. But what else is interesting is that net debt is expected to rise to 34% of GDP in the same period and then peak at 40% in 2025.
Yeah. So, we're not getting back in black.
We're not getting back in black anytime soon, but that's debt. That's not deficit.
Yeah. That's true. That's different things. Yeah. The deficit is actually decreasing based on their predictions.
I think it actually ended up being far less than what they predicted as well.
It is. Yeah. It's $52.7 billion lower than was expected just over 6 months ago at last year's budget in October. We've had like three budgets in the space of 12 months.
We have.
Good thing. Interesting tidbit. It's our most popular episode for listeners usually. So,
well, we'll see how this one goes.
We're getting all the listens, Dan. Yeah.
So let's talk some winners and losers.
Yeah, let's open that winners. ABC.
Let's go to the ABC website here. So winners, vaccines, which obviously that's to be expected.
How can you be a winner as a vaccine?
I think spending on vaccines a win. Yeah, no, you're right.
That's
but
dumb.
Also, how can a renewable be a winner or a loser? It's just a thing. The environment would be the winner anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So, spending on vaccines is up. They're going to try and develop the mRNA technology here in Australia. So, future vaccines using that new technology can be done here.
Okay.
So, for instance, like the Pfizer vaccine, we actually can't make here. We have to rely on other countries and import it.
Yeah, nice.
Whereas we can make the other ones now. So, yeah, investing in new tech. So, that's good.
Do you know what that is, mRNA?
So RNA is like the precursor to DNA. So it's just using different gene stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good explanation there.
Yeah, gene stuff.
I should fact check that.
Yeah, fact check it. Renewables, loser. Basically, that's just because there's no new investments in renewables. They're only going to be investing in hydrogen and carbon capture.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very renewable to me. Especially, isn't hydrogen water?
H2O, so but hydrogen fuel is used around the world. It is cleaner, but apparently to generate it.
You need water?
You need power.
You need power.
Yeah.
But if it is water, though...
No, you're thinking of that's a different thing.
Okay.
Yeah, hydrogen is not where they pump water up a mountain and flow it down. That's not hydrogen. It's a different thing.
It's like, it doesn't require water. It's not a water.
There's probably water involved, but it's not the potential energy of water running down a mountain creating electricity through turbines.
All right. Yeah. But it's definitely not talked about. Let's put it that way.
No.
Stupid. All right. So, there's that one. Cool. So, they're losing. Women are winning, apparently. That's what the government wants everyone to hear anyway.
That is what they want people to hear. There's a lot of money being invested in domestic violence and using the ability, if you've run away from a domestic violence situation, there's loans that you can get and help to get you back on your feet, increase investment there, mental health services, IVF treatments. Mammogram, cervical cancer. These are all good things.
It's interesting here. There's the ABC is talking about how there was no mention or suggestion of tacking super payments onto paid parental leave payments, which industry advocates say is one of the key ways to close the super gap between men and women. I would have thought
I would have thought they did that before they did
the $450 thing is
insignificant compared to that. That is interesting.
Yeah. So, this is a bit of, I don't know, greenwashing. What would you call it?
Gender washing.
Gender washing. Yes. Gender washing. I like it. Yeah, so then there's, yeah, I don't know. I don't, I'm really not seeing how, you know, they're doing things, but still needs to be a lot more in that space.
I think some of the things that I've read have said that they're throwing money at a lot, but they're not restructuring anything.
To see what sticks.
Yeah. They're
just hoping something sticks.
So, I think that they're investing in things, but they're not really changing the underlying causes of some of the problems. They're just,
yeah,
hey, we're going to throw this money. And mental health is one of the big winners, and there's going to be some extra training, and, yeah, and which is great.
That's awesome.
But they're also just opening a bunch more of those headspaces. And I don't know how effective that is.
That's it, exactly. Like,
so, yeah, they can use the headline, we spent $500 million on mental health, but if that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, I think accountability, like in any business, and any KPI is important.
So important.
I think with the budget, they should also release, and they probably do, just no one talks about it, a set of success factors, KPIs.
Yeah.
We're like spending that. It's so everyone looks at the amount of money, but they're not looking at the outcomes.
Yeah, exactly.
There should be an outcomes budget.
Imagine that. Imagine if you could be like, right. We've increased taxes, but look at these outcomes.
Yeah.
Which is actually verifiable and objective. That's the issue.
So they do this a lot, saying we're adding 10,000 jobs to this, and it's usually short-term construction work, right?
Yeah.
They're spent on infrastructure, people get jobs for a period, and then that stops, and the jobs disappear. But but I would prefer if they came out and said, great, the outcomes for this budget in the next year, we're lowering the suicide rate by 10%.
Yeah.
We're doing this, and these are the outcomes that we are hoping to achieve.
Like that.
And all of that is captured in the budget.
Yeah, but then they can be held accountable, Dan. So, that's a worry. That's an issue.
That is true.
Yeah. But, I mean, for me, I would have loved to have seen something around even just harsher penalties for people who are found guilty of domestic violence, or stronger response to those types of things. Because you just hear all the time how it's her word versus his, and how she can't get away. And you know, they're talking about here that they're going to give them $5,000 in assistance.
Yeah.
Like, what's that really going to do? We need to deter whoever is committing these disgusting acts from doing it.
There was some talk in there about education programs for men in there. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like.
It's a big problem.
Yeah, it is a big problem. So, similar mental health, as I said, headline here, $2.3 billion invested in the National Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Plan, shared across five areas, which include early intervention for digital platforms, which is good, so more people can access mental health services, headspace stuff, extra training for psychologists, nurses, and allied health practitioners working in the mental health space. All good. All good. But again, I'd like to see what the actual outcomes they're striving to achieve with that money.
Yeah, exactly.
An interesting one, actually. Medical startups. I don't know if you saw this one, Tim.
I was just having a look at that.
Yeah. So, there is going to be what they call a patent box tax regime. So, income from a company's patent at a concessional rate of 17%. So, if you've got a patent that you've developed in the medical space and you earn income from it, you can only be capped at 17%.
Yeah. Wow.
Rather than the flat 30% for a large business, or 25%, which is going to be for small to medium eventually.
That's cool. And they're linking that with the employee share schemes change.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. So, I guess what they're trying to do, and I actually really, really support these initiatives that they're doing. They're trying to bring development and some of these new technologies to our country.
Yeah.
So, people are incentivized to start those businesses here. And it's the same, you know, we've had this conversation with people from the Central Coast, you know, and we're never going to be the hub of these startups. But we often have the conversation, well, how do we stop people leaving the Central Coast to go somewhere else because they think that's where they need to be to do these
things? Sure.
So,
for sure.
If we can show that, hey, we have incentives like the rest of the world, I think any step towards that is good.
Yeah, for sure. And if it makes it easier for those startups, in this case, medical startups.
Yep.
I'm all for it.
Yep. I'm also all for it.
Apparently, farmers are a winner. It's a $200 million national soil strategy.
That's interesting.
Including rebates for farmers that share the results of soil testing, and $370 million for biosecurity measures to stop the spread of pests and diseases. Hey, Dan, here's something interesting. This is a little shout out, actually. Just random. Just thought of it.
Shout out.
Shut the gate. Have you heard of that?
Shut the gate.
It's a campaign for farmers.
Is that when you're driving through the paddock, you don't shut the gate and the cows get out?
No. It's because if your gate is open to your land, legally, mining companies are allowed to come in and test your soil to see if they can do things like fracking and stuff like that. Yeah. So, there's a campaign called Shut the Gate.
Yeah.
How interesting is that?
Because if you're driving through some of those areas, you are actually allowed to drive across people's property and you open the gate and you close the gate.
Mm.
But if that gate's open, people can come in and test your soil.
Legally, they're allowed to come in and test your soil.
That's messed up.
And like do like examinations of your land.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Because it's not like someone's in your backyard. The land we're talking about here is
massive.
Hectares and hectares. Like, massive, they're huge.
Plots of land. Yeah.
You'd never know someone was there, basically.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Creepy. The other thing here that's interesting is the government will spend almost $60 million trialing ways to reduce emissions through livestock feed and soil management. So, when I was in Tassie, I went to Maria Island.
Mm.
Lovely place. And on the way, they said a company had just purchased an old fishery site, which they were going to use to grow a certain type of kelp or seaweed, which when added to livestock feed at 0.02% or something like that, reduces their methane emissions to like nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. And so, that's someone's recently bought that site. So, that's interesting. There's businesses about to operate in that space. Wouldn't mind buying some shares in that business.
I think
that's a winner.
Methane kelp.
Methane kelp, exactly.
Yeah.
That is a winner.
That is a winner.
That one.
I like that idea. Not a winner if people are just going to start eating less meat.
Yeah. I guess it's not good for your health. Not good for the animals.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. If demand for meat is less, then demand for methane kelp will be less.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. Not a winner in terms of profits.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Anyway.
Any other winners or losers?
There are a few. None, I don't think, worth bringing up.
Apparently, universities are a loser.
That's because international students aren't coming back as quickly as they'd predicted, I think.
Nothing they can really do about that.
No. Aged care was another big winner. There's a lot of funding following on from the Royal Commission.
Agree with that.
Yeah.
Needs to be a lot of work done in that space.
But if you're a listener and you have a small business, basically the main things you need to know, full expensing of assets, low to middle income tax offset, some changes in residency. Basically, that's it.
Yeah. I think they've already done most of the stimulus that they want to do through programs like JobKeeper and Cashflow Boost.
Mm.
They're investing in certain areas
and
you may indirectly see the economy continue to grow and see confidence and see people spending money, which I think we're seeing. We're in the midst of that right now. We're seeing it in the housing market and a lot of businesses are definitely seeing it. I know hospitality, I think, is very busy right now.
Yeah.
And that's a reflection of people just going out to dinner more, spending more money, having confidence.
Go spend your Dine and Discover vouchers, people.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. I've not done that.
Tim, you've only got a month and a half.
Really?
They expire in June, I think.
I will be sick to my stomach if I don't spend that.
I've spent all of my Dine ones, but I've got Discover.
Now you get a Discover.
I don't know what to do with the Discover.
Just go up to the art house, Wyong Art House.
That's true.
There you go.
I'll go to a comedy show.
Comedy. You guys want to hear some comedy? You want some comedy?
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. This has been our budget update episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. More than you got out of the budget. Mm. And if you need any more clarification, let us know.
Or if you have any interesting takeaways that we you cover. Find... Mm. Were it big for you or a big win or a big loss in your eyes, then, hey, go and post in our community page on Facebook.
Yeah, start the discussion. People are chatting away in there.
We just had someone else join, Dan.
We have people every day join.
Apparently, he's part of 444 groups. I'm not sure if he's a real person or a bot. But I accepted him anyway. I just let him in.
Let him in.
Fantastic.
As long as you answer the one crucial question correct.
He answered it correctly.
Then we will let you in. And you won't know what that question is unless you go try and join. So, if you want to get in touch, @twodrunkpodcast@gmail.com, @twodrunk accountants on all the socials. Find us on Facebook to join our community. We got a lot going on there. If you know that there is an outcomes budget that they release that I'm just not aware of, send it to me, because next year I want to hold that up to them and say, did these things get fixed? What were your outcomes?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see that, even if they weren't hitting their targets.
Yeah.
It'd just be refreshing.
Yeah. They'd be like, hey, everybody. So, last year we said that we're going to reduce rates of depression by 20%. We had a stretch goal. We only got to 15. And you'd be like, geez, you reduced it by 15. That's amazing.
Pat on the back.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good work,
money well spent. Well, also, we went 3 times over budget.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Yeah.
And, now we have to shut down the country.
Yeah, but look at those depression rates.
They just undid all that good depression rate work. Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, they're never going to win. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will catch you later.
Bye.